we're going to continue through this book, this chapter, actually. And we've been talking about the family of precious like faith. And there is one thing obvious about the family of God, and that is this. We know God's beloved Son. Now, not everybody else knows God's beloved Son, but we know God's beloved Son. And as you read Peter, there's a word that you read over and over. In fact, when I looked this word up in my concordance yesterday morning, I think it's in Peter as much, if not more, than any other book of the Bible. And it's the word precious. And the word precious is used several times. Charles Spurgeon said, Jesus is a priceless mass of treasure such as heaven and earth cannot excel. Then he said there was a Sunday school teacher in the church, was teaching Sunday school, and the teacher says to the class, he goes, you guys have been reading that Jesus is precious. What does that mean? And so then a moment went by. Then a boy said, well, Father said the other day that Mother was precious, for whatever would we do without her? And you know, you think about that little boy that said that. What in the world would we ever do without Jesus Christ? He is precious, priceless. The boy's right. And where would we be? What would we do without Jesus? For a thing to be precious, it should have at least three qualities. First of all, it ought to be rare. You know what the Bible says about Jesus? He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the only begotten Son of God. What's the begotten? The only one of its kind. There's nobody else like Jesus. He's rare. He's the only one of his kind. It should have intrinsic value of its own. Jesus does. And it should possess useful and important qualities that are valuable to everybody. Jesus has all of those things. And it makes him precious to those of us believers that have discerning minds. Now, I want you to notice something he says here in verse 12, and I'm going to read a few verses. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from his excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now, if you go back to verse 12, he says something. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And then you notice a little phrase he said, though you know them. So Peter says, you already know these things, but I'm going to remind you about these things again. So what he's saying to these people, this is going to be a repetition to you. You already know these things. You don't only just know these things, he said at the end of the verse, and be established in the present truth. You're already established in these things. They're rooted in you and they're grounded in your lives and you know them. But you know what he does? He repeats them anyway. You know, a lot of the stuff that we're taught in church, a lot of times it's you've heard it before. But maybe somebody said it one time that was just a little bit different than somebody said it before, and you said, oh, now that's good. But there's nothing new under the sun. But some of these things you already know. So at the end of verse 12, he says, and you're established in this present truth. You know them, you're rooted in them, and they're in your lives. Then he said in verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. We need to be reminded from time to time of certain things, certain truths, certain comforting things, certain things that we should be doing, other things that maybe we ought not to be doing. So his audience is obviously believers. They're saved people. Most of them were Hebrew Christians, people who previously had practiced Judaism, had come out of Judaism, and now were following the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'd come to him and recognized him to be the promised Messiah. There are people today who know the Lord, who know the truth. They're established in the truth, and they're established in the faith, but I'm going to tell you what they're not. You see in verse 13, it says to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. They're not stirred up. They're not fired up. They're not excited about the things of the Lord. And every once in a while, we need to be reminded of things. So hopefully, Lord willing anyway, we'll get stirred up about the things of God. Now, how do we get stirred? Well, I will say this, not by looking for anything new. That's going in churches all over. Always looking for the next new thing, the next new way to minister, the next new whatever. You know what we really do? We just repeat the old. We sing the song, I love to tell the story, the old, old story. I mean, that's our message. We speak the truth in love. We proclaim the word of God. The world doesn't need any new message. They need to hear the word of God. That's all they need. Now, I believe this. I hope you pray you believe this. The gospel has never lost its power. The gospel is still power enough to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, you might get people's attention for a while with some of these newfangled things, but if it isn't spirit-filled, or if you aren't spirit-filled, if you're going to do something in your own flesh, it's going to fail. You need to do things by the word of God. And so Peter said, we just read verse 13. Then in verse 14, he added this. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. So he says, look it, I know I'm not going to be around much longer, even as our Lord Jesus has showed me. And so there was some urgency to Peter. Later as well, he said, I've got to put off my tabernacle. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm going to die. He knew he was going to die. Hold your finger here and go back to John chapter 21. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, Jesus just got done telling Peter about his death, and then he tells Peter, follow me. So he's saying, Peter, right now you are a vigorous and you're able, but you're going to live to be an old man, and then your life is going to be taken from you. Tradition tells us that Peter was martyred upside down. He was crucified upside down. He felt like he wasn't worthy to be crucified like Jesus, so he hung on a cross upside down. And when you go back to verse 14, that's what he's speaking about. He's speaking about his death. He said, I'm going to be changing clothes. He said, this tabernacle must go, and I'm going to get a new one. Paul wrote in Galatians 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and that's what this is. This is just a tabernacle. That's all it is. We have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So Peter's saying, I'm about to lay down the robe of flesh and soar beyond the stars to be with the Lord. But before I go, I want God to use me to stir you up. Look what he said in verse 15 then. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have all these things always in remembrance. So he's going to remind of things that they already know and they're established. And then he says, and by the way, I still want you to remember these things. Peter will be promoted to glory, but he wants to leave something for people to remember what was good and godly. Now, I had to meditate on that a little bit yesterday, or Monday, I mean. You know when I leave this earth by death or resurrection, or rapture, will I leave something good? Will I leave something godly? You know, I'd like to leave a godly heritage. But I think all of us ought to do good to ponder that once in a while. When you go, what will people remember about you? What will people think of when they think about you? When your name is called after we're gone, what are people going to think? How will you be remembered? Obviously, you probably couldn't answer that 100% accurately, but I would like to think you'd like to leave something godly. So let me admonish you to leave this, a crystal clear Christian testimony. You know what? People may not agree with you. People may not agree with me on everything, but they ought to be able to say, you know, that was a good man. That was a good woman. They loved God. They were a Christian. They were the real deal. To that, there's no question. I think that's a good legacy to leave. Then he says in verse 16, for we have not followed, I got to be honest with you, I love this section. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, where there came such a voice unto his from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. I mean, this is the Mount of Transfiguration. This is, I mean, a tremendous experience. When I talk to a charismatic, I always like to use this passage of Scripture, because I want you to notice verse 19. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? More sure than that experience that they had when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You know what I like about that? Charismatics always value experience over the Bible. It doesn't matter what their experience is. They always think they're of God. They might be of the devil, but they always put experience above the Bible. Now, Peter's got an experience. You never got to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, that's an experience right there, man. And it was real, and it was genuine. Jesus was there. Several people there we'll talk about in just a moment. And Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy than that experience. Now, the mount, he said, was the holy mount. It was holy because God was there. Now, the Bible provides three accounts of the transfiguration of Christ. We read one earlier when we read from Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. But Peter is referring to that particular experience when he's writing this. And as you think about God's beloved Son and Peter's desire to stir God's people, you ought to consider this transfiguration. Christ was, for a moment, transfigured in the glorious likeness that he will be one day when we see him face to face. Now, I mean, Peter got to see something. I mean, that'd be unbelievable. He was seen in the glory of his deity. Peter got to see Jesus in his humanity and in his deity. Mostly, he saw him in deity robed in humanity. God clothed and robed in flesh. The incarnate God, the one that people talk more of about this time of year, his incarnation, than any other time of year. They saw Emmanuel, God with us. In this moment, Peter caught a glimpse of the deity and saw him for who he truly was, the eternal God. And I mean, that is something to see. In this moment, he caught a glimpse of deity and he saw him as he was God eternal. Now, I want to mention three things quickly. Pretty quickly anyway, on the mount. I want you to notice the company that surrounded Jesus. God the Father is there. He speaks. This mount was sanctified and made holy because God's presence was there. We're to be a holy people. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came in and dwelt us. He lives within inside us. You know what makes us holy? God's presence within us. And this is just a tabernacle that houses us. But we have no holiness in ourselves. The Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So obviously, the Father was there. The Son was there. Then, three of Jesus' disciples were there. These three are close to Jesus. Why these three? Well, in all honesty, I'm not 100% sure if you want to know the truth. But these three, we call them the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, they're very close to Jesus. Perhaps James, so he would have strength and courage in preaching and courage and comfort in martyrdom, he would be martyred. John perhaps would need strength to sustain him when he was exiled and ultimately when he'll pass from this life into glory. Perhaps that's why him. Peter, maybe because he would suffer with such a great fall and be called upon to lead the other disciples. Maybe this was an encouragement to him. But I know one thing. I know I'd like to be close to Jesus as I can be. And to see Jesus like this is something. And actually, we are as close to Jesus as we want to be. You say, well, what do you mean? I mean, we could spend more time in fellowship with him. We could spend more time meditating on the things of God. We could spend probably a little more time in his word and in prayer. Beyond that, Moses and Elijah were there. I mean, this is the company of people. This is quite the experience. Then I want you to think about the conversation that was going on here. Now, Christ discussed his death, or his exodus, I guess you might say, with Moses and Elijah. They spoke about, go back to Luke chapter 9 and verse 30. This is another account, but I'll just read this one verse. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah. Now, can you imagine being Peter and James and John? You hear a voice from heaven, and then you're looking, and there's Jesus and Moses and Elijah. I mean, that'd be awesome. And you know what they spoke about? They spoke about Calvary. About what he came to do. That is, he came to redeem us. He came to die. He came to shed his precious blood that he'll shed on Calvary. What he would do in paying the price for our sins. That's quite a conversation. And then I want you to notice back in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, I want you to notice the coming of God's beloved Son. When we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, this is, I think, a reference to the second coming, not the first. Paul speaks of the second coming of Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it says, this is to give you comfort. There is no more comforting message for us than this. Coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon. We don't know when it's going to be, but I can tell you this, Jesus is coming again. Now, he was going to Calvary to bleed and die. He's showing them his glorious likeness in which he'll come. They knew this was the glorious Christ. When he comes, there will be two groups of people who will be caught up with him. You could say the Moses group would be there, those that had died and gone on before. Did you know when Moses died, nobody ever really found Moses' body. But God knew where he was. And Elijah was there. And I think Elijah represents a group of people that never died. Those that will be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds. Those who have lived and died will have their bodies resurrected and that will be reunited with their soul. There will also be those who have never tasted death. The group that is caught up without dying will be saying, O death, where is thy sting? The resurrected will look back to the grave and say, Moses group, O grave, where is thy victory? Peter says in verse 16, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. This is no fairy tale, man. This is really something true. Peter was dogmatic about that. He said, I was there. I saw him in his glory. He is real. And in case you don't believe me, verse 19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. You don't have to believe me, Peter says. Look at the scriptures. That's what he says. So we've got the Bible. We've got the word of God. And it's like God said, now, Peter, I want you to be quiet and listen. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And he added this, hear ye him. Amen. That's a good advice. Then they looked up. Here's Peter and James and John. Now they look up, and the only one there is Jesus. Now here's, I'd like to make three applications. I'll just make one-liners. First of all, let's keep company with Jesus. Let's keep a little bit more closer company with Jesus than we do now. Secondly, let's have conversation through him with prayer and with the Word of God. That's how he speaks to us. And I want you to remember this. When he comes, we're going to be with him forever. This is just an earthly tabernacle. We're just in a temporary dwelling place down here. But one day, we'll be caught up to be with the Lord. And ultimately, beloved, we will be with the Lord forever. And so Peter says, let me remind you of those things. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that as we look at this little book, that we'll use it to encourage us, to comfort us, to help us in this life to live with our head up, our chin up. Some of these things we know, we're established in them, we're rooted in them, but we need them to stir us again. Lord, I pray that you would stir us to serve you more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.